Our second scripture passage for today comes from the book of Isaiah, the 35th chapter, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and bloom like the crocus. It shall bloom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall feel the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For water shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there, and it shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean shall not travel on it, but it shall be for God's people. No traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Now, I'm actually preaching on both of these scripture texts, the one I just read and then also the one that Virginia read earlier. And if you've read the bulletin, you'll see that my sermon title is called A Holy Paradox. And it seems appropriate for today because, the two scriptures seem like they're opposites from one another. And we're going to explore that a little bit later. But also, it's appropriate because this is my second to last Sunday here. It's my last opportunity to preach to you. And for the past few weeks, Laura and I have been kind of living in a paradox. The paradox of joy and sorrow. You know, since we got the news that we were moving and that we were being reappointed, that's what we've been feeling. We've been feeling joy and we've been feeling sorrow at the same time. I've been telling people that, you know, we're happy sad, right? And that seems like it doesn't make sense, right? But that's what a paradox is. We're happy and we're sad because for us, it's a good move for us as our next step in ministry. It's my first senior pastor appointment. There's a lot of exciting things that are going to be happening for us, but to get that, we have to leave you guys. We have to leave a church that means so much to us, and I want you to hear that. I don't want to say those words lightly. You guys have meant a whole lot to us. This place, Decatur, will always be a special place for Laura and I. It's where we met, where we fell in love, and like right here, right where I'm standing, is where we got married. This church is where I learned to become a pastor. And for that, you guys will always hold a special place, and not just my heart, but Laura's heart as well. So today, we are living in the very definition of a paradox. And for those the word nerds out there, the paradox, like me, I looked this up, of course. It's a statement that is seemingly contradictory or opposed to common sense, and yet possibly truth. Right? And so, like I said, we are living in the paradox of joy and sorrow. We're happy and we're sad. At the exact same time, we're having to say thank you and goodbye at the same time. And for us, it's been tough as we're preparing to get, as we're clearing the house out, we're we're going through everything saying, okay, we want to keep this or we want to donate or get rid of this. And for those things are hard. But for many of us, if you think about it, we live in paradoxes all the time. Life is full of paradoxes. And it's not just the paradox of joy and sorrow. There are so many more out there. And after after Brian told me that he was going to get one more sermon out of me before I left, and I had a chance to read through these texts that I picked for this week, it seemed appropriate that I was preaching on today, because the two of the four scripture passages that the lectionary has today represent a biblical paradox. If you were listening to the one that Virginia read earlier, the first text from James, it's a letter of encouragement, but also of patient endurance. See, this letter was written to a group of Christians who were struggling to live together and then to also live out their discipleship. That is why the letter encourages them to put up with one another and to endure and to wait patiently for the coming of the Lord. But now, on the other hand, the text that I just read from Isaiah, it's about joyful exuberance. It paints a picture of a dry desert bursting forth with abundance. It talks about the blind seeing, the deaf hearing, the lame walking, and the speechless singing, and a desert place becoming a fountain. You see, these texts, they seem as about as opposite as you could get. But there's a reason. There's a deeper reason why the lectionary gives us these two texts on this third Sunday of Advent. You see, this biblical paradox that we see in these two scriptures points us to a larger paradox in our faith. You see, during the Advent season, we anticipate and we wait and we prepare for the coming of the Christ child at Christmas. But we're also supposed to be preparing ourselves and waiting for the second coming of Christ as well. These two texts remind us of these two ends of the paradox that we live in. And not just during Advent, we are living in this time in between all the time. This time between the fulfillment of God's first promise, the coming of Jesus into the world, and the next promise that Christ will come again. You see, the Isaiah text paints us a picture of the fulfillment of God's promise, of God's hope for us and for the whole world. That's what Christmas is all about, the fulfilled promise that the Christ child, the Messiah, will be born to us. But on the other hand, the text in James is pointing us to the next promise, the promise that Christ will come again. And the writer is telling people to wait, to be patient, and to endure the hardships of life until Christ comes again. But you see, it represents a paradox. It's a promise fulfilled and a promise yet to come. And as Christians, this paradox isn't the only one that we live in. And as I mentioned earlier, Laura and I are living in the paradox of joy and sorrow. And for a lot of people, they live in this on a daily basis. It represents how many of us live because we feel the heights of joy and the valleys of sorrow sometimes in the same day. And I think this holiday season is a good reference for us, because for some, this holiday season is full of joyful things. From Thanksgiving to through Advent and Christmas and to New Year's, this time is full of friends and family and fun. It's full of parties and presents that you get to open up. And for some, this is the very best time of the year. But on the other hand, for others, this time of the year is rough. For some, this time of the year is not full of joy and happiness, but sorrow and grief. For some, these holiday parties that they get invited to, and these times with family, and these opportunities to reconnect with people are great. But for others, it's just a reminder of who might not be there. It might be a reminder of a broken relationship or somebody that they won't get a chance to reconnect with. And honestly, if you think about it, there are all kinds of paradoxes that we live in as Christians, isn't there? But as we mature in our discipleship, we learn to live in tension without the two sides of the paradoxes collapsing. We learn to patiently endure the sadness and the sorrow, while at the same time being able to rejoice in the good times. And during this Advent season, we learn to live in this paradox of fulfillment and expectation. We rejoice in the birth of the Christ child on Christmas Day, while at the same time, we remain hopeful for the second coming of Christ. It's what I call the holy paradox. It's a paradox that lies at the very heart of the Christian faith, which actually, if you think about it, the Christian faith is full of a lot of things that seem upside down or don't make sense, but are yet true. You see, as Christians, we believe that we have to be reborn again through the Holy Spirit. We see unseen things. We conquer by yielding. We get our rest under a yoke. We find or we reign by serving. We become great by becoming small. We are first when we're last. And we become wise by becoming fools for Christ's sake. And this Christmas story, this season of Advent, shows us a few more of these upside down things don't make sense, that don't seem to match common sense, right? You see, when God chose to send his son Jesus into the world, he could have chosen anyone to be the mother of Christ. God could have chosen a powerful and influential family to come through, but instead, God chose an unwed teenage girl. And then when God was choosing where to be born, God could have chosen a great city, a big city, a metropolitan place, a place of significance. But instead, God chose to be born outside in a stable behind a place that didn't have room for its king. And then I think the most paradoxical of them all, Jesus, who is the light of the world, was born in the darkness of night. But you see, God comes into our lives in the most unexpected ways, at the most unexpected times. And God chooses the most unlikely people and the most unlikely places to usher in his kingdom. But could it be that these holy paradoxes are the whole point? When we see all of the ways in which Jesus turns the world upside down, I think this all starts to kind of make sense in my head, and maybe it does in yours as well. Could it be that God, who is the eternal light, wishes to come into our lives to illuminate the darkness within? Could it be that God wishes to come into our mess and to our brokenness and to make us whole by offering us healing and hope? See, I think this Advent season, and this is the message I want to leave you with. This Advent season, I think, reminds us that paradox is the point. It reminds us that you don't have to have your life together. It doesn't matter if everything is clicking or going the right way. It doesn't matter if you're feeling joy or sorrow at this moment. It doesn't matter if things make sense or if you just don't quite get all of this. What the season of Advent reminds us is that God promised to show up. God promised to show up in our lives. And the good news is that He did. And He does. And He will again. So thanks be to God for God's promises to us.